Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, we get to talk about a fun topic this morning, that is authority. Isn't that exciting? Exousia in the Greek, but it's right there in our text. Jesus showed authority. But what kind of authority did he show? This message is going to be very simple, actually. I'm going to suggest that Jesus shows three kinds of authority: good, better, best. And I really pointed out, I've got a picture here on my whiteboard that shows how Jesus showed three types of authority. First off, he shows head authority, head knowledge authority. Then he shows heart authority. And then finally, with his hands, he shows authority. Good, better, best. In our text this morning from Mark chapter 1, we see the head knowledge authority that Jesus had as he teaches in the synagogue. Now, during Jesus' day, there were certain positions in the synagogue that were permanent. The same person, in other words, worked that position day after day, week after week, year after year. Here were those positions. There might have been a few more, but here are the main ones. There was the ruler of the synagogue. It was his job to hold on to the calendar and put together services and activities that were going on in the synagogue. Then there were the distributors of alms. Every day in the synagogue, these people worked to collect monies. Those monies then would be given to the poor later in the day. Every single day, these people worked this job in the synagogue. And they gave just about enough to cover the poor and needy for about 10 to 14 days. This was the Jewish practice. Then there was also a person that had the position of chazen. That's what it was called, the chazen. That is someone that was a jack of all trades. They basically did everything. In our congregation, you might say that might be Oscar Gutbrod. The chazen did specifically these things. The chazen went and got the holy scrolls that were read, and then they'd take them back into where they were located. The chazen also cleaned the synagogue, and the chazen was the one who actually blew the trumpet to let the community know, hey, today's the Sabbath, much like Oscar does when he rings the bell at Peace Lutheran Church. Now again, those were the permanent positions in the synagogue. Did you notice that I didn't mention one position that might surprise you? The teacher. There was no permanent teacher in a synagogue. Teacher came for a weekend, went to another location, to another synagogue. Teacher came for another weekend, and a new one would come the next, and so forth and so on. This was the practice in the synagogues during Jesus' day. The teacher was not in a permanent place and position. And that's why it's fascinating in our text, in Mark chapter 1, to hear how astonished all the people were in the synagogue. They had heard hundreds, if not thousands, of rabbis. And it's this one that amazes them. Jesus. Now, it doesn't surprise us. We know that Jesus had head knowledge and that he taught. That doesn't surprise us. We know that when he was 12 years old, Luke's gospel tells us that he goes into the temple and he offers questions and answers at a level that no one else was at. Jesus displayed head knowledge, which was good. Head knowledge, authority. Excellent. But think about this. You know what's interesting to me about this text? Is that this text doesn't say exactly what Jesus taught. What was Jesus teaching? What was he expounding on? I would have liked if Jesus would have been talking about maybe what God was talking to Moses about on Mount Sinai. That would open up a lot of the Old Testament for me. It'd be nice if Jesus might have taught about the doctrine of the Trinity. That would help me in my confirmation classes. It'd be nice if Jesus would have mentioned the way evil came into the world, or how evil came into the world. That would help me in my pastoral counseling. Or it might be interesting or fun to know what Jesus thought about the politics of his day, something about Herod and the voting machines back in Jerusalem way, way a long time ago, something like that. But again, Mark mentions nothing about the teaching. the exact teaching. Why? I believe it's because Mark was saying there was a more significant avenue that Jesus used to show authority than just head knowledge. It was heart authority. And we see that actually in these next few verses that Aaron read in verses 29 through 31. Jesus shows heart authority. He had a heart for people. That's what heart authority is all about. He actually goes and connects with a very specific person. I don't know if you caught it. It was Simon's mother-in-law in her house. Now, that's really actually very amazing in and of itself. You see, the practice in Jesus' day was that whenever a synagogue service happened, the very next thing that would happen for someone that was a teacher, anyone who was in that service, was that they were to go and have a special meal and rest. That was the prescription for every single service on the Sabbath in the synagogue. And it makes sense. Jesus had a moment in which you would think he was maybe drained from the intensity of his teaching. You might think that he was tired from casting out the demon while he was in the synagogue. He's going to rest and kind of hang out. But no, you see in this verse, the verses that Aaron just read, you see, Jesus went and connected with a person, an individual, with Simon's mother-in-law, a heart connection for people. What this says about Jesus is some tremendous things. Jesus cared about people more than his personal rest. Jesus never tired of caring for individual people. Here's another thing it says. It says that Jesus was just as into one moment of connecting with one person in a private home as he was connecting with a whole bunch of people that were gathered in Jesus showed heart authority. But my friends, I truly believe that Jesus took it even one step further in our text here. Jesus didn't just rely on head authority. He didn't just rely on heart authority, empathizing with people and connecting with them. He took it one step deeper in our text. Jesus showed authority with his hands. He showed authority with his hands. He raised Simon Peter's mother-in-law with his hands, raised her up. Now, back in Jesus' day, someone who had a fever and who was burning, there was a very clear prescription for how they would be treated. You can look it up in the Talmud. This is kind of the special interpretations and writings, devotions of the Jews. This is what the prescription was for someone who had a fever. It's going to sound strange, kind of weird. Don't do this at home, by the way. But this is actually the prescription. If you had a fever, number one, you went and you were to get a sword made from iron. Then you were to tie a braid of hair to it, and then tie that braid of hair to a thorn bush. Strange? Yeah, it's pretty weird. Then the next thing you were to do on day two was to read Exodus chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. The next day you were to come back and read Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. On the fourth day, you're supposed to read Exodus chapter 3, verse 5. This is the moment when Moses is meeting God at the burning bush. And then once all that was done, you were to come back around the fifth or sixth day, and there was kind of like a magic spell that you were to say. And by that time, poof, the fever was supposed to vanish. Again, this was common practice in Jesus' day by the Jews. What does Jesus do? He raises her with his hands. What power and authority Jesus showed with his hands. It's interesting what the text says. It doesn't just say that she was healed. It says he raised her up. And so often in Mark's gospel, this is what Jesus does. He doesn't just heal people. He raises them up. He lifts them up and builds them up. My friend, this is what he'll do for you. We live in a time period in which it seems like we'll just always be down on our mat or on our sick bed, very much like Simon's mother-in-law. We live in a time period in which death, it seems like death is the end, as if we'll never be able to get up and rise up again. For the Rank family who's watching this broadcast from across the United States, you know, there could be the thought that, will Lou ever rise again? But you see, the authority of Jesus' hands is powerful. You will rise again. Jesus has the power to do that with his hands. And you see the depth of his authority, my friends. It's not just head knowledge. It's not just heart. It's not just head authority. It's not just heart authority. With his hands, Jesus raises people. And he will raise you and me to eternal life. It's so good to just live in that truth and live in Jesus' authority. Now for the challenge. My friends, Jesus gives you authority. In Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus left, he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." And then he gave it to his disciples and his followers. He gives it to you. And as we think about the authority that we've been given, let's unpack these categories: head authority, heart authority, hands authority. You know, as I think about that, I have to say that too many people today are relying on head authority to turn people in another direction, as if some sort of inspired word or some kind of word might win an argument and turn someone to their way. With all the disagreement and division that we're living, it's kind of enticing to think that one word that we say will win someone to our side. But head authority really won't convince that many people. Dale Carnegie used to observe people and wrote a book about how to win people to your side. And one thing that Dale Carnegie said was that if you ever want to win an argument, just don't enter into one, is what Carnegie said. He went on to say this: 9 out of 10 arguments ends with both sides just entrenching deeper in their original positions, no matter if they were right or wrong. Carnegie went on to say this: you just can't win an argument, because if you lose, you lose. But if you win, you also lose, because you may feel good about winning, but the reality of it is you just made someone else feel inferior and you've hurt their pride. My friends, go to a deeper authority than head knowledge. Follow Jesus. Go to heart authority, or go to hands authority. And you know, I actually think we do that here at Peace Lutheran Church, and we need to do that. Avoiding those topics, or those unnecessary topics, let's say, in which arguments can cause division, that's not helpful. And really thinking of ways in which we can show our heart authority and our hands authority to others and uplift them and build others up in our Lord Jesus Christ, raise them up. And you know, that is actually happening at our church in powerful ways. We live in a community and time in which many, many people are down, as if they're on a mat, sick like Simon's mother-in-law, thinking that they'll never rise again. Those things that are keeping people down are such things as the pandemic, that is a real illness that is hurting people and relatives in our congregation. Isolation from the lockdowns, in which people are really fatigued with not seeing their loved ones. Divisions for all sorts of reasons. Politics, which is so tumultuous these days. How can we make a difference? It won't be in head knowledge. It will be heart authority, hands authority. It happens in our congregation, and has. One person decides to do a backpack ministry. Those backpacks are put together, and more are put together, and many, many people receive the blessing from those backpacks. One person in our congregation continues to make masks. Another person in our congregation decides to make a little library outside our church so that other people can spend their time reading wholesome things during this time. Another person writes cards with their hands to bless others. You know what's interesting about this text as well is that when Simon's mother-in-law is healed, did you notice the words that it said that she did next? She served. She served them, is what it says, actually. She didn't preach a sermon. She didn't go on a long missionary journey to share the love of Jesus. This woman just simply served right where she was, in her own home. It's as if to say Jesus' authority with his hands passed on to another person, and then she used her hands to bless others. How awesome would it be with the things that we're doing if that is exactly what happens? If a backpack is shared in our community and the person who receives that backpack actually shares those supplies with someone else that they come into contact with, that's our prayer. How awesome would it be if the person that writes cards of encouragement, if the person that receives those cards of encouragement then shares a word of blessing with someone else. And the multiplication happens over and over and over again. Jesus never intended his acts with his hands to just stay with his blessings that he gave. He didn't intend those blessings to just stay with the person. Jesus' heartfelt intention was that those blessings would then be poured out upon other people. So again, let's think about that today as we close out our message. We've been given authority. Jesus shows his authority in three ways, and he passes it on to us. Head authority, head knowledge. How can we take it one step deeper and show heart authority and love people, have a concern for their concerns? And then finally, how can we show hand authority? With the help of the Holy Spirit working in us, how can our hands make a difference in the lives of those people around us? Amen.